Let's put a song so you can sing along with a special guest or two.
Or two.
You like to sing and dance, and this podcast, by chance, explores musicals for you. Theme Song, yeah!
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of Life's But a Song, a podcast that likes to live in the land of musicals. I'm your host, John, and with me today, well, continuing on another saga that we're having on this podcast, it's Roland Ruzanek, everyone.
Hello.
Yeah, we're doing the Stars is Borns. Yay. But this time,
we have Barbara.
It's Barbara. We're here today to talk about the 1976 version of A Star is Born. The screenplay is by John Gregory Dunn, Joan Didion, and Frank Pearson.
She's like one of the most amazing authors. I couldn't believe she had worked on the screenplay of this. I was like, what?
Well, so the thing is, though, you never know how much somebody works on it.
Did she write a line and got a credit? Who knows?
I don't know. Or did she work with Barbara to write, you know, the Esther character? The movie's directed by Frank Pearson, and according to IMDb, has been singing idol John Norman Howard falls in love with young up-and-coming songstress Esther Hoffman in Frank Pearson's version of the classic love story updated to the rock and roll era.
Of 1976, yeah.
Well, the thing, though, with this is that there's not a lot of music in it, I feel like. They repeat "Watch Closely Now" so many times throughout the movie. And I'm like, he had to have another hit, right?
What about all the songs that she does?
I mean, I get all the songs she does, but yeah. I was expecting, because this is Barbara Streisand,
Barbara gets all the songs, honey. Barbara gets all the songs.
But I was expecting wall-to-wall music. Not just the few times we get, because Watch Closely Now is kind of the jokes, a joke song in a way with this, because he never really finishes it.
No, and he's such a, dare I say, not a good singer. And it's interesting because I was a child when this movie came out. I was 7 or 6. And I remember my parents taking me to it. And I do remember seeing her on the big screen and her hair mostly and that song, the Evergreen. But as I got older, I remember Kris Kristofferson was a legitimate pop star.
Yes.
And as an adult watching, I literally haven't seen it since I was a kid. And I don't remember this movie at all. He's a terrible singer.
And see, like, I misremembered this movie as being more like a Barbara Streisand concert that, you know, the acting is just interrupting.
Yeah, no, it's...
But it's not, I think, really.
It really speaks to her performance ability as a film actor. Because my takeaway from this film was that, my God, she's such a good actor. She was so good in it. And it was such raw acting that I went down a rabbit hole and looked up her coach who coached her on this.
Yeah,
I was fascinated because I always forget, and this happens every time I see her in a movie, literally Funny Girl, every movie that I see her in, I'm always like, God damn, this woman is such a fucking great actor.
But there's something to say about the roles that she's had. I haven't seen all of her movies. I will preface this statement by saying this, but a lot of the characters that she plays are very strong-willed, little sassy. You know, it seems like it's her.
Right. It doesn't seem that she's going to do it. That's in alignment with her persona as her personal values, I think, you know, because they all sort of, you're right, they do align in this, like, I don't want to put up with shit. And actually, that's what I liked about this Esther, that this version of, let's just get into it, that, like, I I just wrote a long note to myself when I was watching that I actually, for the first time, liked this story. Because I remember I said before, I don't like this story. I hate the idea that this
You're
one,
the one
the.
that picked these movies.
Yeah, isn't that crazy? Well, I love the movie. I love the movie. I think it's okay to not,
Okay. I see what you
agree
mean.
with what it is. You know what I'm saying? I think, the Judy Garland one is like a delicious fit. Like, you and I loved it,
Loved it. Love
And
it. It's
I will say, I really like this version too, but what I really liked about it that really made me like it was Barbara's character, and that her version of Esther wasn't as much of a victim as these other versions were. That she was very much like, you're a jerk. I'm not putting up with this. What are you doing? Get yourself together. There was one moment that I went, oh, come on, you actually told him you were leaving and now you're not. But for the
when
most
he
part,
she catches him with
yes,
the quote unquote reporter.
that killed me. That moment killed, because I knew it was coming, but her reaction killed me. And the fact that she was like, I'm not letting you take me down. I felt like no Esthers in any version of this story say that. It's implied. They kind of do their best to not let that be true. But her version is like, no, absolutely not. I'm not letting this happen.
The thing, though, with her, I feel like, from a writing level, I'm not going to blame Barbara by any means because she's doing the job. But on a writing level, like, she comes off strong, she comes off very independent, and then she just defers to him. And you're like, why
When?
are we
Wh
weak?
where?
Like, when she's. It really confused me when she was about to go on tour for the first time, and she keeps pushing him to come with her and headline with her and everything. And it's like, but you're a performer. Like, this is your moment.
Yeah,
You've
I
established
think.
yourself as a performer. It's not like you were singing karaoke and he picked you up. You were and also, I will say, I did like John Norman because he backed her up. Until there was that until he basically got fired from the band.
Yeah,
And that but that was him lashing out emotionally.
I think what you're talking about, the whole deferring to the man thing, is what I really found distasteful in the other version, because that's what I felt about Judy. Whereas this one, I feel like the character of Esther, not Barbara, is set up to be part of a group, which the name made me go, what? The
The
name is the Oreos. I was like, excuse me. And it's two black women and her. And I was like, oh my God, no, it's 1976. This is how we talked about things. Now I was like, good Lord, no. But I bought it. I bought her thing because what she said was, I'm not comfortable performing alone.
Oh, I forgot about that. This movie is
Yeah.
2 hours and 20 minutes, and
Girl, I watched it in two parts. I stopped it and watched the rest of it yesterday. Yeah, it's very long.
there's a lot of things that I'm
But
like, why are
also,
we lingering? We can cut this.
you know what? I have to say, though, that is what I liked about it. And let me explain why. When I saw it was 2 hours and 20 something minutes, I went, oh, good Lord. But as I'm in it, I think it is important to say, yes, there's some things that could be trimmed here and there. But for the most part, the fact that they took time to develop these characters as well as they did is what I think won me over. That it won me in that it wasn't just like we're cutting to another n song and dance or another number, that we're really sitting with these characters and giving them an opportunity to bloom as people in the eyes of the audience, so that you can understand where he's coming from and understand where she's coming from and what he's not as much of a sort of fucked up villain as the other versions of this character
No.
at all. He's quite likable and very empathetic. And in many ways, when she does stay, I kind of was like, yeah, I kind of get it. He gets it. I got it. Whereas with like Judy, I was like, what are you doing?
Yeah,
You're a
because
motherfucking star. Get the fuck away from him. Whereas this one, I'm like, no, I get it. She wants to help him
She
and
wants to fix
stay and
him.
give him a chance, and she's still not emotionally ready to perform on her own. Like, it made sense to me because I felt like we took the time.
But
And
also in that same scene where she wants him to come with her, I liked him because he was building her up. He was
I
like,
completely
this is
agree.
your time. This
I felt the
you
same.
should bring that with you. You know,
Which
he
we
was our
don't
little
have in other
champion.
versions of this story.
Yeah.
And
Well,
that's why I think I like this one better. Or I actually like this one.
I don't remember the 2018 one, and
I
spoiler
do.
alert, we're
Very
doing it
low.
in the future, so we're going to be doing it soon, but I don't remember Bradley Cooper
I
doing
do.
that for her.
No, he didn't. Yeah.
But okay, so but so
He's
I
very unlikable. I disliked him immediately, and he stayed in that zone. Like, I don't, for me, he is more like James Mason's version. He's just very unlikable. Like,
Yeah, James Mason, James Mason.
great actor, but like, they didn't give him, they didn't let him have a space to be likable.
No, and then with this one though, it's fascinating the style. Like they, so okay, the Judy version, they are performers. They're mostly actors, but they're in musical movies at the time.
Yeah, they're performers of that period of
Yes.
the 50s, of like, we do it all. We sing, we dance, we do vaudeville, we do the cabaret sequence.
Everything.
Yeah,
Yeah.
whereas this is
This one,
very much like rock and
rock
roll
and
of the
roll.
70s and 70s rock at that.
And I wouldn't, and some of the songs, I wouldn't even classify them as rock.
Yeah.
Like
I
a
don't
lot of
love
her
them.
stuff, I wouldn't classify as rock
It's
because
just her
she's
own
not
thing.
rock.
She just does the Barbara sound. It's her own thing, you know.
Do you know who this version of the movie was originally conceived for, by the way?
No, it wasn't Barbara.
It wasn't Barbara.
No, who?
According to IMDb, everyone,
Well,
it was originally conceived for Carly Simon and James Taylor.
oh, that makes sense
I was
because
reading.
they were actually a couple
But
and they had a
also
huge falling out.
they were the hot musicians of the time, I guess. But James Taylor didn't want to do it because of Tulane Blacktop, you know, being not well received. And I guess they went to Barbara, and Barbara originally wanted Elvis.
Oh, yes, that I did know.
Yeah, where she went to Elvis, and then fucking T Colonel Tom Parker ruined everything. Because he did. He always did. Fuck you, Colonel Tom Parker. Burn in hell wherever you are. But yeah. So Barbara and Kris Kristofferson got this movie, and apparently everyone hated each other.
Wait, Barbara
But
hated him?
well, so Kris Kristofferson hated Frank Pearson, and Frank Pearson hated Barbara,
Frank Pearson, the director.
the director.
That's crazy because she just gives such a great performance. Wow. So the director hated her.
The director hated her, yeah, and
Well, because maybe she came with too many opinions. Which, frankly, if I were directing, I'd be like, what? Tell me. You tell me. Because I feel like she's proven to be right so many times that I'm like, I would just listen to her.
this is her star vehicle as well. I mean, yes, she was in other movies as well prior to this, but this is, I think we solidified the last time that this is the woman's story, really.
I think so.
And this is like, yes, the male counterpart should be a big name as well, but really, this is
It's her journey.
her journey. That's
She
why
is
we know it
the
as the
star
Judy
that's being.
version, the Barbara version, the Gaga version. Like,
Yeah,
we
she is the
know.
star being born. The woman is the
Yes.
star.
She is the star. End of sentence. So, like, there was one thing that I read that she requested. What was it? I can't remember which song it was. The one in the recording studio.
Evergreen.
Evergreen. Yeah, she wanted it
That's
live.
like the star song of the movie.
Well, there's another one
No,
that I
no.
couldn't remember if it was Lost Inside of You when they're playing around as well. I believe as well that one they recorded, I know, but Evergreen they recorded live because she didn't want to lip sync, but also like she wanted to give an honest performance, because there are the moments in between. It's kind of like that stairwell scene in the Judy version, where they have the where they do the playback and the microphone over
Oh
him
yeah.
being,
Yeah. I
yeah.
love that scene. Yeah.
But this one, the Evergreen scene in this movie, it's when they're lovey-dovey and everything, and it's beautiful. And
Well,
honestly,
they're
there's
it's the thing that I love about it is they're really never not. They never have a moment except when they have that horrible scene, that's so sad when he cheats on her with the weird reporter that shows up at the house. Other than that moment, they're always kind of really in love with each other, except
except for
when
the
they're
beginning,
courting.
but like,
Yeah, well, the
yeah.
courting part. And I think she plays it so well because she really is in love with him, but she's just like resisting. You know, it's she's, you know, not
She
giving.
finds him attractive, and of course he's John Norman.
Yeah. I have to talk about that Paul Williams and Rupert Holmes wrote these songs, for the most part, wrote these
wrote,
songs.
yeah.
So Paul Williams, who wrote the massive amount of Muppet songs, who wrote, you know, Rainbow Connection, wrote Evergreen with Barbara. Like, are you, yeah. And I gasped when I saw that. And also Rupert Holmes, who wrote The Mystery of Edwin Drood, wrote like two or three songs in this movie.
He
Or more, right?
wrote Queen Bee, which is
Oh,
the one that she
just
sings
so
with
fun.
the two
The
other
girls.
women.
Yeah.
He also wrote with Paul Williams Everything, which is the song,
The finale song.
no. Why did I write, you know, Power to John for denying a performance? Oh, that's the next song that she sings in the set. So when John goes to the bar that she's first performing in.
Oh, that she's trying to get through that, and then he gets into a bar fight.
But
Wait, pause, pause. You know who he gets in a bar fight with?
I look, oh shit, I just looked at
It's
Robert
Robert
Englund.
Englund. It's Robert Englund. He later becomes Freddy Krueger in all the Freddy Krueger movies.
And
I jumped out of my seat. I was like, oh my God.
apparently Kris Kristofferson didn't know that Robert Englund was an actor. He thought he was a stunt performer, so he broke his nose when he in the fight. And then afterwards they got a drink together. Like
I love
they
that. I
bro
just,
down.
there were so many moments like that where I was like, oh, look who it is. And then Paul Mazursky, very famous director, actor, was the manager. He directed wonderful films and was in a shit ton of movies as an actor. Like, I was just like, oh my God, this cast is fierce. Like,
And then Gary
Gary Busey.
Busey.
Gary Busey is like the friend. Like,
I don't know what the jobs are for any of these people. Like there's a that scene where he's at the pool where who is the guy you just said,
Paul
the
Mazursky, the
director?
manager.
Yeah, where he's on the phone talking numbers, and it's right after the fight scene at the bar, and it's like I don't know what anyone's job here is besides just to hang out.
Yeah.
Except for you, except for you. You're clearly the manager because you're
Yeah.
talking numbers and stuff and figuring out how to pay for things.
So there was also a thing I noticed that the name of his of John Norman's band is something like Speedwagon, something something Speedwagon, and it was
hold on, I wrote it down. I wrote it down. The John Norman Howard Speedway.
Speedway. That's it, and it's a reference to REO Speedwagon,
I
which was a
thought
real band
so.
from the 70s, which I was like, oh, that's interesting. I don't know. They probably just did that.
But then they changed to Freeway when they fire him.
Right, because it was Speedway.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and it's like we called it Freeway because they just moved on. It's and the, oh God, it was such. I cannot say enough how I truly got wrapped up in their story more. This is the first time it really was sort of like a heartbreaking, like they really both got me in a good way. Like it's the first time I really empathized with John Norman. And again, I think it was because they took the time to really give you all these like moments of what he's going through and what he's trying to do. And that, you know, I always hate the fact that that character never tries to improve himself and never tries to get better for her. that his answer is, well, I'm just gonna kill myself.
Well, so that my question to you though is, did he commit suicide or was it an accident?
Yeah, that's what I liked about this version. You don't
Right?
know.
Yeah,
And
because you see him driving and he's wasted. He's
yeah.
perpetually wasted. Even when he's not actively drinking, he's
Yeah.
drunk.
Yeah, and or
So,
he's high. And like
or
how the
something, yeah.
friend like gives him cocaine like the second he sees him, just shoves it in his nose, and you're just like, oh yeah, he doesn't even take it himself. It's always given to him.
And he doesn't say no. That's the
That's
thing.
the thing. He doesn't say no. And I think that's also partly what I found so interesting. And so weirdly, I feel I empathized with was that he wasn't actively trying to do it. It was just coming to him. So he was like, all right.
He's like, and he wasn't, it wasn't
Weak-willed, I
like he
guess, you know.
was, he, it just seems like breathing at that point where it's just like, I'm just gonna do it. You know,
Yeah,
I'm not
yeah.
gonna think about it. What's also fascinating too is after the Grammys, because they did the award show moment where he embarrasses both him and her
Yeah.
after she won, it feels like that they were doing some sort of commentary about reporters.
What do you mean?
Because the way that they were all up in their business with the lights and everything, and like reporter, I mean, are
Oh, yeah.
important throughout this movie as
And
well.
you found that a commentary on the
I found that
reporters.
a slight commentary about like, leave us alone, we're people.
Well, there
But
was that Radio Shock Jock guy that was
I
like
fucking
trying to get
hated
him on the
him.
show. Yeah, and I think that was the point, is that because that was such a thing in the 70s and 80s, and these shock jock, these radio guys would get people on and sort of then ambush them. And it's like what, you know, tabloidy television is now. But maybe that was it, because it could have been an out, you know, like a direct line to the negative sort of press that, yeah, it
Because
was interesting because he
really,
was part of that group that they, and then he punches him, remember?
yeah. Oh yeah. So you're talking about Baby Jesus.
Baby Jesus.
I hated him so much because like he first is introduced when John Norman is hanging out in his pool, you know, private property, but Baby Jesus shows up in a helicopter.
Oh my God.
And you're like, what is this?
And again, that happened a lot in this time
It
period.
did?
Absolutely did. I grew up in Southern California. I was 7 when, or I could say 6 when the movie came out. So I was, and my parents, I was an only child. I came home, I would watch TV and do my homework from 3 o'clock till my parents got home, or 2 o'clock, and then go out, whatever, and do things later. And I remember watching the news, and it's like, people like would, you know, celebrities would get helicopters like landed or like hovering over their backyard because they had committed a crime or they something had happened, you know, like this happened a lot. So this was a thing.
Because I mean, I understood it when he they used the helicopter to get him to the raceway, his second concert. Because there's the opening one, and then there's the one where there's just a shit ton of people there,
Yeah, that was
and.
interesting. Like, I wondered if that, what was that? Was that a setup for, of course, my mind into the production. I was thinking, was this like a concert that they just co-opted and you and put Chris on stage and then filmed it? Or was it like all these extras that they got? It, my
According to
sense is,
IMDb trivia, there was a concert they did where there was a lineup, it looked like. I can't remember the names, but like Barbara and Chris Christopherson performed, as well as other people. And like the tickets were like $3.50.
So it was basically extras that were going to get a concert of all these people, because there
Yeah.
was so much concert footage in a montage later, and I go, when did they? How did? Why did you film all this concert footage and put it in a montage? I bet it was from that event.
Or it feels like as well that they may have had just one concert
That's
set
what I
up
mean. That's what
stage.
I mean.
And
Yeah.
so they used it in the beginning. They used
Yeah.
it during there. They used it as well
And
throughout.
just, you know, they shoot it reverse. They probably had them change clothes. They probably shot it from different
Yeah.
angles, so it looked like a different set, you know. But I was like, there are moments where I was like, where did this massive amount of people come to a concert so that they could just film them as extras.
But then it's so cool that they actually got other musicians to be part of it.
So at this time, he was married to Rita Coolidge, who is in the movie.
Who makes the cameo, yeah.
Yeah. So my guess would be she was probably in that concert too.
Hold on, let me look it up. But you can keep talking.
I was taken with the fact that I don't think most of these songs are very good. Like, I didn't really walk out going, I love this score. Like, I was like, yeah, they're okay. The song at the end, particularly, the finale song, which the name, I don't even know the name.
One More Look at You, and then she does her version of Watch Closely Now.
Okay, because that's, so it's two songs at the finale?
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, because I wondered about that, because I was like, this was a very long song, and it I didn't realize it was too kind of cut together. I don't think either one of them are great, but watching
She's
her...
great.
Yeah, you took the words right out of my mouth. Watching her interpret this material is breathtaking and a lesson in song interpretation, because she takes mediocre material, maybe not mediocre, maybe a little bit better than mediocre, and makes it seem great.
There is a moment, though, at the end, during her version of Watch Closely Now, that I think Barbara forgot that she was in a movie.
And that's okay. I didn't care.
It's
I know
fine,
exactly
yes. But because, you know, she's being emotional that John Norman is dead and everything, and she's crying.
Yeah.
But then when she's in Watch Closely Now, she's in it
she's
as
giving
Barbara.
It. Oh my God, she's giving it. She's
so
giving
she's no
Barbara
longer
at
Esther.
The height of her powers. It is so good.
I looked up. So according to IMDb, the rock concert footage was shot before a crowd of 47,000 people.
Good Lord.
At Sun Devil Stadium in Tempe, Arizona.
Oh, okay.
Barbara and Kris Kristofferson headlining. Other acts include Peter Frampton and Santana. A ticket cost $3.50.
But they don't give the full... It was just Peter Frampton and Santana. That's all it was.
They say other acts include. So there's probably
Bummer.
A longer list. Maybe, yeah. What was her name?
Rita Coolidge.
Rita Coolidge performed.
I was just guessing because I knew they were married at the time.
I feel like the Freeway or Speedway band was an actual band.
No. No, it is a reference to REO Speedwagon.
But I mean, like, they not their name wasn't that, but I feel like the people who were playing those characters.
Yes,
the
they
musicians.
Probably hired a real band, is what you're saying.
Yeah.
Gotcha. Yeah. Maybe, yeah. I don't know. That would be interesting to know.
I mean, you don't really see them and they don't really have names.
Uh-huh.
So you're like, okay, I don't know if you're really a musician or if you
they
went
probably
to like
were a band existed already. Yeah.
You went to boot camp musician boot camp. For acting.
I have to say, I also watched this with headphones on, just because where I am, I didn't want to disturb people. And I was watching it like in a space where like I didn't want to put subtitles on to read because I know it was a music film. And I found it so immersive by doing that. The music was so like, it felt like it drew me in further because there's a weirdness to the 70s rock that I don't really go for as an artist. But I find it really fun. It's really, it's like enjoyable to me.
Like the music of the time, you mean?
Just of this period.
Of
the
this
70s.
Period, yeah.
Yeah, that I wouldn't like put it on and listen to it. But by putting it on headphones, I felt like I was in a theater and I was really immersed in this period.
Ooh.
Musically. And it was so fun to me because I could hear the weird instruments and the kind of wacky 70s rock sound that was emerging. And I have to talk about one stupid thing that I noticed. There's a sequence when they're building the house out in the desert, and she's wearing a Superman t-shirt.
I was like, what's with everyone's obsession with in the 70s with Superman?
So she did an album called Superman, and that was, she was on the low, the cover of the album is this moment, and it jumped out at me because I literally got this album at a thrift store for 99 cents 2 weeks ago and was like, I didn't even know this album existed. I'm not a super Barbara fan, but I have her albums on vinyl because I found them at record stores for $1. And when I put them on to listen to, I'm like, my God, this woman is so freaking good.
Do you
That I
know
kind got drawn in, and I was like, this is a pro, this is like a connection to her selling the album, is that, that it's the cover of the album is literally a picture of her on the set of this at this moment in the film, and
but
I was
you,
and it's called Superman.
Well, so her costumes were from her
from
closet.
Her closet. It says so in the credits.
Yeah,
it said the costumes.
Miss
Streisand's
clothes
Streisand
from her closet.
And but I burst out laughing.
Is this before or after she has like the underground mall in her home?
Much before.
Okay.
Much before. Much before. I don't. I think that only came up in the '80s. In the nineties, because I don't think she lived in that house until the '90s, I believe.
Well, so so you were talking about watching this with headphones. I watch everything with subtitles these days.
Yeah.
So, and it was interesting with this one because there's a moment when she first performed and was like getting into the spotlight and everything that in that clump of reporters around her, there's so much, you know, hustle bustle, hubba, 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 hubba. There was a line that stuck out to me where, I don't know if Baby Jesus actually said this, but I believe he did because he says something similar later. It said, "Let's follow the money, follow Esther, put the lights on Esther, keep the lights off the creep." And that is also around the halfway point of the movie.
Yeah.
So
I do remember hearing that too. Yeah. Something along those lines anyway.
Because
yeah.
then later, Baby Jesus calls John Norman a creep. So I'm like, maybe it is you, but at the same time, I'm not sure. So, because it was in a hubbub.
Again, it's like, I never found him creepy until he cheated on her with the reporter. And the reporter was so creepy. I was like, ooh, she just...
Well, was she a reporter? I thought she was also a groupie, the way that they're talking about how she was with
I don't
somebody
know,
else.
Maybe, yeah. Like, it was like, I was with so-and-so. And I'm like, you're swimming in this fucking guy's pool. What are you fucking doing? Like,
or is it like Almost Famous with what's his butt?
Yeah, I don't. I mean, she had her tape recorder ready for an
She
interview.
did.
She's saying, "I want an interview. I'll do anything for an interview." She says it into the camera. I'm like, oh,
it was like, girl, have some self-respect and tact. Like, you
oh,
literally, you're naked in bed with this woman's husband going, "Can I have an interview with you?" Like, come on.
And also, I hated the fact that he did it. That was the first time I was like, I hate this guy.
Well,
because
so I was trying to remember, James Mason doesn't cheat on Judy Garland.
That we know of.
That
but
we
I think
know
it's
of.
Implied.
Right. But in this one, because now we're in the 70s and we can show a little more in movies, we see them cheat.
We saw Babs' side boobie. I wrote it in my notes. I was like, Babs' boobies. We saw half of one.
And I'm surprised that we didn't just see like Quentin is his character's name. We didn't see her fully naked or something. Because that
I think
would've...
that's still too, it's still too early for that. I think give it another 5 years and then you'd start to see full
because in
frontal.
Like horror movies, that's when they're like, show us boobies.
Mid 80s, early 80s. Yeah, because I think this was still meant to be a mainstream film. Because I think if you were doing an indie, you'd see full frontal.
Of course.
In 75, 76, yeah.
Well, because they say things like groovy and far out. And I was just like,
I love it. It's so awful. It's terrible.
But I'm like, did people actually say this at
yes!
this time? Okay, okay.
Absolutely did.
It felt a little forced. That's why I was like, is this real?
I think it was more a stereotype of the 70s and particularly California 70s. But it absolutely, yeah. I remember, like, I must have been in grade school, so I don't know, 6, 7, 8 years old, 9, 10, 10. And I drew a picture of myself, and I had bell bottoms, and my teachers were like, "He has bell bottoms," and they made such a big deal of my bell bottoms. And I was like, "What? Why is
Why?
this? Why do we care about this? Those are my pants. That's what they look like."
Oh my goodness. And also, so you were talking about the writers. Kenny Loggins actually wrote one of the
He wrote a
songs for
song, yeah.
this.
And he must have been a kid. He must have been so young when he did.
It was, I Believe in Love. It is his song first, But obviously, Barbara covered it and then made it a little more popular, it sounds like.
Yeah. I was just taken with the fact that it was Paul Williams was just all over this.
Well, and you know, Paul Williams, we did another episode where Paul Williams was in a movie called Phantom of the
The
Paradise.
Phantom of the Paradise.
Yes, where he's
Yes.
so, and it, but it's so fascinating that like Paul Williams is like the person of the time, and
He
you
really
have,
was. And all the Muppet movies. I mean,
yeah, and then you have Barbara, who is also the
the
person
woman
of
of
the
the time.
time,
Yeah. This.
the musician of the time,
Yeah.
and I don't know, Frank Pearson, I'm assuming he was a director, a good director of the
I
time.
looked him up and I didn't think any of his other movies were really of note in my mind. Like, I was like, yeah, I don't, this, none of these really stand out to me.
Yeah. Well, anyway, we have Barbara and Paul Williams, the people of their times,
And Chris
who,
Christopherson, let's not forget that. He
well,
was a superstar pop singer.
the point I was going to make is that they won the only Oscar for this movie
Yeah. Did she actually won for this film?
for Evergreen. This they wrote they
Oh, they
won
won
for
for the song.
best original song or best music original song. Kris Kristofferson nor Barbra Streisand were nominated for best actor.
They weren't? Do you know who was against them?
I don't know, but they were not even
Yeah.
nominated for it.
What?
So, yeah.
She really should have been. She was that good, in my opinion. But, you know,
The
whatever.
other nominees that they had for this movie were for Best Cinematography, Best Sound, and Best Music Original Song Score and Its Adaptation, or Best Adaptation Score. Wow, that's a mouthful.
Yeah.
And then, obviously, like I said, they won Best Music Original Song for Evergreen.
Which I think is the best song in the movie. Period.
Yeah, I mean, it's her. I think anytime she opens her mouth to sing, it's amazing in this. I will.
Yeah, and also her acting in the song. Like, that's what I meant by interpretation when I talked about the end of the movie. Her interpretation, her acting within the songs is so just impeccable. It's like a full-on masterclass in breaking down the beats and the wants of a song, and she just fucking, God
Nails
damn,
it.
it's so good.
And there was one song that really was recorded for the film, but it was only in the background, and that is Crippled Crow, one of Kris Kristofferson's songs. The rest
Okay.
of them are performed
Yeah.
live,
In the
or
context of the movie,
quote unquote live, yeah. Because there's the Crippled Crow is the one that's during the building of the house montage where she wears the Superman shirt.
Oh, yeah, that was like, I know there was a song playing, and then when I saw the Superman shirt, I just completely blanked out everything else. I was like, oh, it's the
Oh my goodness. Yeah. Oh, so there was I do have an issue with one of her costumes, but that's because I don't understand the intention of the scene itself.
which one would it be?
So
Because I have one too. That's why I'm like curious.
when they're doing the when she what song is it? I can't remember which one it is. Oh, The Woman in the Moon. When she sings that song at the benefit,
That
or
weird suit she's wearing,
that
that
weird
gray
suit that she's
suit.
wearing, that I'm like, I know you weren't really slated to perform,
Yeah,
but
she's looking in her
like,
backstage outfit. Like, I'm wearing a backstage suit. Yeah.
so, but I wasn't sure like what the event was, 'cause they don't really tell us things. This movie doesn't really tell us a lot of
Yeah,
things.
it's sort of like a Native American benefit for some. Yeah, they sort of give you a log line about the benefit like really quickly at the beginning of the concert, and then it goes by so fast. You're like, wait, what? What did you just? What? It's a what? Yeah.
Wait, what? And then they distract you with her singing The Woman in the
Well, the whole thing about like him stopping the concert to bring her out, and I was just like, wow, okay.
Yeah, but so it's not a bad suit. I was just unsure what the event was, and it didn't feel very like day to performance wear, if you will.
Right. Like she doesn't take the jacket off and got a cute little top on. Like she's just like, I'm
Right.
staying in this outfit.
It's tasteful. It's nice on her. I like it, but
She just looks like a businesswoman. She doesn't look like she's ready to perform.
yeah,
Yeah.
she looks like she's
Which
a
might have been the
guest.
point, maybe. That might, it might have been like that he really ambushed her.
Right, but if she took the jacket off at least and like had a fun top on, that would be
Show us
that'd be
your talent, gypsy.
a What was the one that you had an issue with?
There was a costume. This is so funny and nitpicky and gay of me. There's a costume which she's wearing in the desert that is cut. It's like not cut. It's literally like a shirt that's so open that she belts it so that there's no closure on the top part. And
Is
it
that when they
called my
roll around in the
attention.
mud?
No, not that one. Not that
Oh,
one.
okay.
That's all in white. And this one's got like multi patterns. Like the dress is a pattern, the top is a different pattern, the belt is a different pattern, the hat is a, and it's very southwesty. It's very like, Sedona, Arizona looking outfit. And it's just open. And so you have like side boob showing, and then that exact same outfit and her look, that look and his look return after they are going to break up and she's going to leave him and they've ridden on the horse and they come back into the house and she's wearing the exact same outfit and he's wearing that. And I said, they just shot that scene on the same day. And they just said, okay, now we're going to shoot the scene, stay in that costume. No one will notice. And I was like, I noticed because it's the weird outfit that she's wearing where it shows her side boob. And it was such a dumb thing, but it was a continuity issue for me that I was just like, did you really just do this?
My favorite though is that moment that you're talking about when they're riding the horse and she's wearing the hat, but then they enter the house and she's not wearing the hat. I was like, you didn't have your hair done. You
Forget
didn't
it.
have that fro.
Forget it. I
It
know.
because that fro would not fit in that hat. Let's be real here.
There is a moment that I have to talk about, which is around this time in the film, where, and I think it is right before he gets in the red car and drives off and crashes, where he says something. It's this scene. No, it's this scene. And he says, look, I want to talk about what you said to me about I'm not that you're not going to let me take you down and blah 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 blah. And she's like, well, I don't know what I said. I was angry. I'm sorry. And she sort of backs off of the fact that she's like, fuck you. I'm not going to let you bring me down. And he goes, no. You did say it, and I liked it because it told me that you finally know who you are. And I wrote it down. Because I felt like this is why I like this version of the movie, because he says something like that to her, where he says, you finally get who how great you are.
Which is why I think he
Wait,
didn't
wait,
commit
wait. And wait,
suicide.
hold on.
Oh.
Yes. And so that moment is when I went, oh, he's gonna kill himself now.
Well,
Because
yeah,
he's
of course.
basically saying to her, you don't need me. But he said it in a kind of beautiful way where it's like, I was waiting for you to recognize how great you were.
Right.
Where none of the other versions do that. They're
Oh,
all
so
like, I'm not good enough for you. straight white man bullshit. Where he's like, I actually can leave you now. I like, you understand how beautiful you are.
he left to go pick somebody up from the airport,
That
right?
was the, yeah, that's what he's
That's the
saying.
story. Well, so the thing though is like we talked about with James Mason, he walks out into the water and drowns. So that is him actively killing
Committing
himself.
suicide.
When we get to the 2018 one, we'll talk about that, but we're
He
not going
does
to do that
something
right this
similar.
second. With this one, I don't think he meant to kill himself.
I think you're right. Because when I actually rewound it and watched it again, because that sequence, because I was like, wait. There's no like impact. You don't know what happened. We
You don't,
never.
you just see him go over a hill
And he
and he's
just.
listening to her, one of her songs
On an 8-track, which I
on
was
an
like, an 8-track. I love it. I love an 8-track.
A-track. An 8-track player in a car. That
In
must
a
have been
car,
super
which my father
expensive.
had, which I used to fast forward the 8-tracks when I was little. He'd be like, stop doing that. You're going to stretch the tape out. And he goes up over that hill. And I was like, oh, we're going to see an explosion. We're going to see an impact. And then it was like, no, nothing. It
I
just
like that
cuts.
we didn't see it.
Me too. Because what happens is you just don't know. And you don't. And that's what I liked about it because maybe he just didn't mean to do it. Maybe he was finally like, I'm going to get my shit together. And he just died. He just had an accident.
Or he was just so high or drunk or
Well,
whatever.
yeah, that's, I mean, honestly, I think that's
But
more likely what happened.
it seems like he was at peace too.
That's what I mean. That he says to her, you finally, I like that you did that, that you told me off because you finally know who you are.
Right, because then also now he can start working on himself because
That's
all of his shit
exactly.
is hitting the fan.
That's why I think I like this version better. This is why I think this one really, as a storyteller, I like this version better because I like characters who seem unredeemable, at least give you a glimmer of redemption.
Okay.
He doesn't try to. I mean, he doesn't have the opportunity, but there's a glimmer. You're like, oh, there it is. Okay, great.
Yeah, because I mean he and like his journey throughout is a journey. Like he becomes, it seems like he's okay just being the house husband.
Which is
You know?
weird, right? Like,
Like,
it's
because
like
they've
you're a rock and roll star and you're okay with just like being the guy. But then I think that was also the scene that has been that he's on the couch and he's playing music and the phone keeps ringing and he's like, somebody got the phone. And then later that's what's recorded and she hears it and thinks he's back to
Right.
life. I think that was the point of that scene that he's starting to show the glimmer of him not being okay with it there.
Yeah, because now they're back in California. Because when they were out in the desert, they're living in their love bubble,
Yeah,
you
and then
know?
he's in Cal, and then they're in California in his house, and they're calling for her and not for him.
Yeah. So that
And so
makes.
he's finally, and it's very small. It's just him being grumpy about getting the phone, but it's symbolic of, oh,
Everything.
he's not okay with
It's the
this.
straw that broke the camel's back.
I don't know about that, but I think it's enough of a glimpse into the subtle moment of him being like, fuck,
Yeah.
she's a bigger star than me.
Is it that's before he gets officially fired from the band?
I think it's that the very next scene when he gets
Yeah.
fired. Yeah.
So it's like that
I think
happens, then he gets fired, and then he's.
it's just one thing on top of the next. It just keeps building. Yeah.
It's
And then he comes
just
back and then
shit.
the girl's in the pool and the whole thing. Yeah.
Yeah. So it makes sense where in that chunk he's starting to like feel it, you know,
Yes.
because he's out of work
Just
for
can't get
however
them.
long. We don't
Yeah.
know how much time passes in this. It could be a month.
No, that's the one thing you're like, wait, what? How much time has gone by?
And like the one thing, well, we'll get to it in Sharp and Flat.
Okay.
I think if I wrote it down, I didn't write it down, but oh no, I did write it down. But is there anything else before we get into Sharp and Flat that you want to talk about?
No, I think I covered it all. Yes, no, we covered it all.
Okay, great.
I took notes. Yeah, no, we got it all.
Let's do it. Sharp Flat. So in this section, we're going to highlight some moments whether or not we talked about it. If we liked it, it's sharp. And if we didn't like it or thought it could change, it's flat. What do you want to start with? Do you want to start with sharps or flats?
Let's start on a low note so we
Okay.
end.
I love that. I always love that joke. It's so funny. Tim, just me. So my first flat, men.
Men suck.
Men. There's a moment with like Chris Christopherson and Gary Busey where it's such a boys' club
Yeah.
and like the men just suck, period. Like they're not terrible, like awful human beings. He's not being an emotional abuser or anything towards
No,
her or anything like that.
shockingly not. But
I'm just
the other
saying
guys are awful. Everyone
men
is
suck.
awful.
Yes.
It's that white straight bro culture that I think spurned the entire Me Too movement 20 years, 30 years later that we see in the 70s. You're just like, these men are awful. They're all fucking awful.
I also wrote down that they have sex in the makeshift studio and then she paints him like a clown. Straight people are weird.
That's so weird.
Put
She did. She put makeup on him in the
makeup on
bathroom
him. Yeah. I'm like, straight people are
and laughed at
weird
him. And I was like, what is this? This
in the
is so disgusting.
tub.
Yeah. And did you just fuck and you just got in the tub and then you put like glitter on his face? Like, what? Who does that? And I'm sure the director was like, this will be funny. And
I
she's
mean,
like,
I get it. It's a cutesy moment between the two. It's a cutesy, silly moment where they're feeling comfortable in front of each other. But I'm just like, straight people are just weird.
yeah, it's so weird.
I also flatted the name of the Oreos. It
Oh,
just
I'm same.
feels,
Oof.
yeah.
Oof. Just a oof. Oof.
I also flatted Baby Jesus because he's such an asshole. Such an asshole. I also flatted, okay. I flatted the audio being all over the place. There was a moment when they're in the house where they were, I guess they were going for a naturalistic sound, but I'm like, we're in a movie.
And what was the problem?
It just, it felt like they weren't catching all of the audio, or like there was too much echo, or it wasn't as
Oh, so it's
sharp
just
as.
the inconsistency of the audio you're saying, the quality
Yeah.
of it. Oh yeah, I guess I didn't notice because I had those I had headphones on.
I noticed it only during when he's giving her the tour, and then there's that random spray paint can there that he writes her name backwards for whatever reason.
That was so weird. Where cross the T in my name? Like, what? Why did you just do
Where?
that? And then it stays there for how long has it been there? Because then we come back to the house, it's still
It's still
there.
there. And then my last flat is for the editing during the montages. It was just too fast and too chaotic. I get it. I guess they're going for like, this is how fame works. You know, it's not a steady incline. It's like you just shoot up and then you come back down as fast as possible.
Sure, talk to Chapel Road. Yeah.
But it just felt we were having great editing and great things, and then all of a sudden it's just like chop, 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 chop. And I'm
Yeah.
like, whoa, 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 whoa. Give me a
Yeah.
song at least to distract me from the from the choppiness.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
And that was really it for my flats. What did you have?
I don't have that many. I really struggled with the time. Like jumps, for me, that was a real like a real drawback. I spent like large portions of scenes going like, wait, how much time has passed? How is she a bigger star now? What's happened between then and now?
Because you're like, okay, we're in the beginning, it has to be like a week happens where
Right.
he
It's just
first, from when he
not.
first meets her to when he gives her on the tour. And then all of a sudden they're married. And you're like, how much time has passed?
Yeah, exactly. And like the rise of her career, like you say, I get that what they're going for is the chaos of, especially in this time frame of like how quickly fame hits you and like catapults you up into this stratospheric, like all of a sudden you're a megastar and you're like, how did that happen? I get that, and that's what they're going for. But at the same time, I still was like, wait, how long did this take? And I just wanted an idea. And so that pulled me out. I would say pulled me out of the movie more times than I care to, like, that's when I really noticed, like, this is a problem for me. I really struggled, honestly, with, I don't think the songs are great, except for Evergreen. They're all kind of okay.
Right,
Nothing
yeah.
made me go like the one thing I would say is just so superior in the Judy version is the numbers. The numbers are all like every number's a hit. It's staged beautifully.
Yes.
It's a stunner. It's shot beautifully. These are more like, except for Evergreen, which is an amazing piece of pop music. The other songs are just like, yeah, they serve the situation. None of them made me go, ooh,
It
like.
kind of feels like this is a movie with music.
Yeah, I would agree.
I wouldn't call it any of the
It's not a
Stars
musical by any
Borns a
means.
musical by any means, any of
No.
them. But it feels like the music isn't important. They wanted to focus on the story, which is fine. It's fine,
Yeah, because
you know.
and it's weird to say that because I think it's a flat for me because it is a movie about musicians, and so
Have some
why am
fucking
I not
good
focusing
songs.
more on this? Where's the music? Where's a good song? Give me a good song. And like I said, none of them were terrible. None of them were like, oof. Like, they're all pretty good. They're all okay. They're all of the time,
They
which
do
is
the
what
job,
I,
yeah.
yeah, I, and I don't care for most of the music of this time, except for Xanadu. Love the score of Xanadu.
Oh, ELO.
Oh, but Evergreen is fucking amazing piece of music. And the songs at the end, like I said, are just okay. But what's great about the end is that she takes these mediocre songs and just elevates them to this, like, only she can do. Just amazing.
Right. And I'm not going to lie, I was more listening than watching this movie this time around.
Oh, that's funny, because I was listening more. I mean, watching more than listening. Like, I was really like,
but like when she, yes, when
I got really invested.
When she started singing, I was like, oh, yes, woo, music mama. To my ears, literally.
Jesus.
Do you have any other?
At the height, her at the height of her powers, I'm telling you. Yeah, but that's kind of it. I mean, like, I agree with you with the men. Like, the men characters are just fucking awful. And I think
there's one other woman in like the clump of people that surround them.
And she was like another like agent or manager or booking agent. Like, she comes
stylist,
in
and something.
And she
yeah.
gets in her face, like, and for like a one scene, you're like, who is this? Where did she come? You know.
And they do say her name once. Her name is the character's name is Freddie, but like the two women who were
the
in
Oreos.
The Oreos don't have names.
And they literally don't speak to her.
They don't.
And honestly, I would say this is another flat for me. I will say this. They hired two women that were clearly backup singers.
Yes.
They did not hire two women that were like formidable talents with Barbara. And I think that's the problem.
Yeah, because even when they were their own group, it was Esther featuring these two women.
Yes, because it's like, no, they're the Oreos. And I wanted to have like women that were clearly part of a group with her, not her backup singers, because that's what it looked like to me. That's what it played like to me.
Even Beyonce let Kelly and Michelle take lead on some songs.
Yeah.
Okay, sharps, or do you have any other flats? Is that it for flats?
Oh, no, I think that's it.
Sharps. You could agree with me. Barbara.
Without
is,
question.
Is a, the sharpest of all sharps. I also sharped Esther's wardrobe. I actually wrote that before
hilarious.
Knowing it was Barbara Streisand's clothing.
It's but so still, 70s too. It's
but it's so,
so
seven, and it's, and no wonder she looks great in it, because it's her fucking closet.
Yeah, she fucking pulled it all herself. Like, she's like, well, I'm gonna ruin these pants in the mud, so let me just like fucking, you know.
Oh no, maybe those they bought. I think that
I
outfit.
I hope so, because they were great. I was like, oh, that's a good cost.
I hope that outfit they bought, because she rolled
so
around
she
in the mud.
She looks so good in it too.
Or she was like, you're paying the dry cleaning bill. I also sharped how at first John Norman Howard isn't jealous, and he's helping her become a rising star.
Yes.
Which we spent majority of the episode talking
yes.
about.
Agreed.
And then my last sharp is for the image of the audience at the end raising their lit matches. It was just beautiful. Like, I believe it was completely silent.
At the end?
At the end.
At
before
the, okay.
she before she sings, after he dies.
Oh, before she sings. Yes, 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 yes.
Where
yes.
They all raise their lit matches up.
Yes, before the number, when she comes out to do the first. Yeah.
It's the, in the Judy version, it's when she comes out saying, I'm Mrs.
Yes. I'm Mrs. Norman Maine.
Norman Maine.
Yeah.
Yeah. Where in this one, I'm glad she doesn't say that, because
she says it earlier in the film when he says, you remember who you are. And she says, I'm Mrs. Soames, you know. No, she says, no, she doesn't say I'm
she,
Mrs.
She says,
Esther
I'm
Hoffman. She adds his last name.
Right. But she doesn't say it. It doesn't come off as like, I am your property. Again, it was a different time. It was 54 when Judy did it. So it was
Correct.
A different societal pressures and things like that. And it's a powerful moment for that movie in that time period. In this time period, 1976, I think the audience raising their matches, lighters, whatever.
It's them showing
their respect.
Love for John Norman dying, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Like it was a great, that, yeah. No,
yes.
I'm going to save it for mine.
Well, now it's your turn. What are your sharps?
I think the first sharp for me is the fact that I as much as we talked about how long this film is, the fact that we get to really have a Norman character in an adaptation where I don't hate him, where I don't from the get-go go,
yes,
fuck this guy, he's a piece of shit. I was shocked at how beautifully drawn he was, and I loved the fact that no matter how messed up he was very clear that she was special and he cherished her, even when he cheated on her.
I mean, he is a piece of shit at the beginning, but it's for
self-destructive. I think it's not that he's a womanizing garbage heap. I think it's just more like, oh, I haven't, like he's just in this bad place, and this woman presents himself to him, and he kind of goes, Jesus, I have something special in front of me.
Well, he's also a piece of shit because he kept his audience waiting, like Madonna does.
Oh my God,
let's not go into that. Oh, but God, I had so to much. Make note of that because I think it's awful, hilarious. Awful.
Sharps, yeah. So we talked about Barbara. That's a sharp. I really would enjoy the trip to another time and another place. The fact that how this is so like authentically 1970s, you know, to the costumes, to the, you know, the way it was filmed, to like the messiness of the sound that you talk about. Like, I really enjoyed that. I enjoy movies that, you know, like I love watching a movie from the 30s where you're like, this was exactly like,
right. It
just takes you back in time, which is so enjoyable. But Evergreen is, I'm going to add it to my playlist. You'll ask me shortly. It is a song I will listen to now. I forgot about that song. And it's like, I'm telling you, I forget how great Barbara truly is as an actor and as a singer. Like she's such an icon, and you sort of dismiss that now, but you go, God damn, this woman is and was so fucking great at what she does.
Right. Yeah. Cause I actually rewatched Hello Dolly not that long ago.
Uh-huh. It's been playing a lot on the cable channels.
Oh, it's on Disney Plus, so I watch it on there.
Oh, yeah.
And like
I hate that it's her. I hate that it's such a young woman, but oh my God, she's so good.
Like I said earlier, she finds these characters that mm-hmm. are facets of her, but like this, at least between that Dolly Levi and Esther Hoffman, there is a snark, but it's a different snark, and like obviously she's not talking as rapidly fast as she does in Hello Dolly, because that's a different genre as well. Like in this one, she got the vibe, you know, she's like, oh, I'm playing me in a way, but like not
a version of herself. Yeah.
I'm playing another pop music star, and I can chill. So it was, I mean, she has a great range, and it's,
Film acting ability is extraordinary.
Yeah, she just felt so natural.
Yeah, she's because she's funny and she's charming.
Both of them felt natural. I know we keep talking about her, but like I do want to give Kris Kristofferson some credit.
100% agree with you. There are moments where I was like, wow, he's really good. Like I'm surprised he did not get an Oscar nomination because
for both of them.
It's such a good performance, and it's really stands up, you know, high quality film acting of its time and now. Like if he did that now, you'd be like, this guy's great. He's fucking awesome.
Do you have any other sharps?
I can't think of any.
Okay. So you already answered one of them. Would you add any of those songs to your life's playlist?
Evergreen, baby. Ever.
I also wrote Evergreen. I'm adding The Woman in the Moon and the finale with One More Look at You. And Watch Closely Now.
Yeah,
it's like when it transitions into Watch Closely Now,
which I missed. I was like, whoa, what's
seamless.
Going on? Oh, so good.
Yeah, it's like a DJ made a mashup.
Yeah, funny that, but it was live.
Mm-hmm. But Roland, we're done with the episode.
Aww.
We did the 1976 version of A Star Is Born. Woo! What do you have to plug or promote?
Well, we're still waiting on the drop for Hell of a Boss season 3. Vivian Madrano, the showrunner, Vizzy Pop, is she has been promoting Husband Hotel, which is also hers on because of Amazon, because it dropped on Amazon, and they're finishing season two of that, so it's happening tandem, it turned out. Which I didn't
Oh my
understand.
God.
Yeah, so see, it's pretty impressive that she does that. So I just didn't know that that was what was going on. So we're still waiting on season three to drop. I have stuff, as I said, brewing, and I just can't really say it because contracts aren't signed. And but you'll know when I can say for sure what's
Yeah.
happening. There's some good things happening. We just can't.
Yeah, just be on the lookout of your
Oh, a
Instagram.
movie that I did several couple years ago is finally on Roku channel, which everyone can watch. It's called Mind Reader. I am the main villain of the film. So far, it's
Ooh.
only on Roku channel. It's called Mind Reader. I warn you, if this is not your kind of film, but I want you to know that this is a faith-based movie. The part that I'm in is not very religious, and it kind of transitions when my part ends. So I'm in the first three quarters of the film as one of the villain leads, and then it does this weird shift, and it becomes very about the religious aspects of the story. And my part's long gone by then. So just so you know, I would love people to watch it, but it is a film by Rich Cristiano, who turns out is very big in the Christian faith-based film community. He's very well known, it turned out. I didn't know when I booked the film.
Oh.
So, and then another movie I'm in called Clocked. I play a host of a drag bar. I played Bebe Lake. I'm in a blue wig the entire movie. Oh no, not all of the movie, but most of the movie. Has been playing film festivals, and it was just at the New York Latino Film Festival, and we got a lot of mentions. So if you come across it, it's called Clocked, and I urge people to go see both things because they're finally sort of more out in the general public now.
And then,
I did
hold
both of those like 2 years ago, 3 years ago.
on. Is it movies are
It
funny
takes so
where.
long to come out, except when I was in the Chippendales thing, it came out the very next year. So I was like, oh, but movies just really take quite some time sometimes.
Yeah, I was going to plug for you as well. Welcome to Chippendales.
Oh yeah, that's on Hulu.
Oh, so mind reader is just one word.
Mind reader, yes, not mind reader. It's mind reader. One
Mind
all one.
reader.
Yeah.
And then, according to your IMDb page that I'm on right now, Clocked is one
Wrong.
of your upcoming projects. So,
Yeah, it is out. I don't. It shows up like that. It is out in festival circuit, but it's not in any kind of wide release. So that's why it's sort of like I think it sits. Like I don't have any control over when it says it's not. It's upcoming and it's out. Oddly. Yeah.
I guess they're still tweaking, potentially tweaking it before
No,
it's
they're
had a
not. It's
theatrical
not being
release.
re-edited. I think it's just the fact that it's out in festivals, but it doesn't have a distribution.
Okay.
'Cause it's been playing
Yet.
festivals around the country.
Yeah, hope.
LGBTQ festival. It's a story about a Latino boxer who discovers a drag club in Miami that he goes to, but not like a great club. It's a very low end club. I'm a host. It's not a high end club. And then he becomes friends with the drag queens there. One in particular, oh my gosh, what's her name? It'll come to me in a second. And then as he becomes friends with her, he discovers that he's trans, and he transition and he uses the drag aspect to as his in to transitioning.
That is awesome. You're talking about that there's Cleopocalypse.
That's it, Cleopocalypse. God, Cleopocalypse. Yeah. Who is an actor named Armand Fields and has a wonderful bunch of stuff that they've done in TV. Was on several shows.
The remake of Queer as Folk.
Yeah, and the Chi-Town, I believe.
The L word
Yeah, works a lot.
remake. Chicago Fire, I'm seeing.
Yeah, because they were Chicago based. Now I believe they're Los Angeles based. Yeah.
Cool. Sounds awesome. Look, I'm
Pretty
looking
fun.
forward to this
It's a
one.
really interesting movie. We shot it really quickly, and a lot of my stuff turned out. I improvised, which was super fun and was a little scary at first because I was like, wait, 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 what? And he was like, oh, just say this or that. And I was like, okay, wait. If I'm gonna improvise it, let me come up with something and then I'll come back to you. And he's like, okay, great. So turned out to be a lot of fun.
Let me put my wig on and I'll improvise.
I listen, girl, they put that thing on first thing in the morning. They gave me that wig, by the way, too. When you see the movie, you'll see that after we shot it, they're like, "Do you want this?" And I was like, "Yes, it's in my storage as we speak. It's not coming out of the box since I shot. I should open it to make sure it's okay."
Put her on, you know. Let her
just
feel
walk
loved.
Around the house in it, just in a blue wig.
Vacuum with your wig on. Come on. And if you want to talk more about this version of A Star Is Born with me, you can email me at buttersongpod@gmail.com. I'm also on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, TikTok, and Threads at buttersongpod. So we've done the Judy, we've done the Barbara, and as I've announced, we're going to do the Gaga version. So I'm not going to ask who your leading lady is just yet, audience. Okay. I mean, you, Roland and I already kind of told you who our person
say
is.
I already, because I remember the Gaga one very well. So that's what spurned this whole thing.
Yeah. But if you want to be part of the next episode's conversation, well, we're going to be talking about something very different, and we'll be discussing the film Top Banana. Yeah. Phil Silvers, everyone. Oh. Roland, thank you so much for coming back on.
My pleasure as always. Thanks for having me.
And obviously, we know your next episode, so it's just a matter of when now. And everyone, thank you for listening, and bye for now.
Thanks, bye.
Special thanks to Aaron Troy for creating the pod's artwork and to Nick Bombacino for composing the theme song and the jingles. A huge thank you to CastBox for hosting this podcast. And thank you again for tuning in to today's episode of Life's But a Song. Bye for now, everyone, and have a musical day.